नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं
गीर्णे
नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती श्रीमद्भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर कृष्णा इज द सोर्स ऑफ ऑल इंफॉर्मेशन It's 24. Tataha
Kalo
Sampravritte
Sampravritte
Sanmohaya
Sanmohaya
Suradvisham
Suradvisham
Buddho
Buddho
Namnanjana
Namnanjana
Sutaha
Sutaha
Kikateshu
Kikateshu
Bhavishyati
Bhavishyati
ततो कलो संप्रवृत्ते सम्मोहाय सुरद्विषाम् बुद्धो नाम्नाञ्जनसुतः
भविष्यति
ततो कलो संप्रवृत्ते सम्मोहाय सुरद्विषाम् बुद्धो नाम्नाञ्जनसुतः कीकटेषु भविष्यति ततो कलो संप्रवृत्ते सन्मोहाय सुरद्विषाम् बुद्धो नाम्नाञ्जनसुतः कीकटेषु भविष्यति Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Then, in the beginning of Kali Yuga, the Lord will appear as Lord Buddha, the son of Anjana in the province of Gaya, just for the purpose of deluding those who are envious of the faithful he is. Please repeat after me. Then,
yes.
In the beginning of Kali Yuga,
the Lord will appear
as Lord Buddha,
the son of Anjana,
in the province of Gaya,
just for the purpose of deluding those
who are envious of the faithful thieves. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Buddha, a powerful incarnation of the personality of Godhead, appeared in the province of Gaya, Bihar, as the son of Anjana, and he preached his own conception of non-violence and deprecated even the animal sacrifices sanctioned in the Vedas. At the time when Lord Buddha appeared, the people in general were atheistic and preferred animal flesh to anything else. In the plea of Vedic sacrifice, every place was practically turned into slaughterhouse and animal killing was indulged in unrestricted. Lord Buddha preached non-violence, taking pity on the poor animals. He preached that he did not believe in the tenets of the Vedas and stressed the adverse psychological effects incurred by animal killing. Less intelligent men of the age of Kali, who had no faith in God, followed his principle. And for the time being, they were trained in moral discipline and non-violence, the preliminary stages for proceeding further on the path of God-realization. He deluded the theists because such atheists who followed his principles did not believe in God, but they kept their absolute faith in Lord Buddha, who himself was the incarnation of God. Thus the faithless people were made to believe in God in the form of Lord Buddha. That was the mercy of Lord Buddha. He made the faithless faithful to him. Killing of animals before the advent of Lord Buddha was the most prominent feature of the society. People claimed that these were Vedic sacrifices. When the Vedas were not accepted through the authoritative disciplic succession, the casual readers of the Vedas are misled by the flowery language of the system of knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita, a comment has been made on such foolish scholars, Abhipashchitaha. The foolish scholars of Vedic literature who do not care to receive the transcendental message through the transcendental realized wholeness of disciplic succession are sure to be bewildered. To them, the ritualistic ceremonies are considered to be all in all. They have no depth of knowledge. According to the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaishya Sargoin Ahameva Vedaya, the whole system of the Vedas is to lead one gradually to the path of the Supreme Lord. The whole theme of Vedic literature is to know the Supreme Lord, the individual soul, the cosmic situation, and the relation between all these items. When the relation is known, the relative function begins, and as a result of such function, the ultimate goal of life or going back to Godhead takes place in the easiest manner. Unfortunately, unauthorized scholars of the Vedas become captivated by the purificatory ceremonies only, and natural progress is thereby checked. To such bewildered persons of atheistic propensity, Lord Buddha is the emblem of theism. He therefore, first of all, wanted to check the habit of animal killing. The animal killers are dangerous elements on the path of going back to Godhead. There are two types of animal killers. The soul is also sometimes called the animal or the living being. Therefore, both the slaughterer of animals and those who have lost their identity of soul are animal killers. Maharaj Parikshit says that only the animal killer cannot relish the transcendental message of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if people are to be educated on the path of Godhead, they must be taught first and foremost to stop the process of animal killing as above mentioned. It is nonsensical to say that animal killing has nothing to do with spiritual realization. By this dangerous theory, many so-called sannyasis have sprung up by the grace of Kali Yuga, who preach animal killing under the guard of the Vedas. The subject matter has already been discussed in the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Maulana Chand Kadri Sahib. The animal sacrifice, as stated in the Vedas, is different from the unrestricted animal killing in the slaughterhouse. Because the asuras, or the so-called scholars of Vedic literature, put forward the evidence of animal killing in the Vedas, Lord Buddha superficially denied the authority of the Vedas. The rejection of the Vedas by Lord Buddha was adopted in order to save people from the vice of animal killing, as well as to save the poor animals from the slaughtering process of their big brother who clamored for universal brotherhood, peace, justice and equity. There is no justice when there is animal killing. Lord Buddha wanted to stop it completely, and therefore his cult of Ahimsa was propagated not only in India but also outside the country. Technically, Lord Buddha's philosophy is called atheistic because there is no acceptance of the Supreme Lord, and because that system of philosophy denies the authority of the Vedas. But that is an act of camouflage by the Lord. Lord Buddha is the incarnation of Godhead. As such, he is the original propounder of the Vedic knowledge. He therefore cannot reject Vedic philosophy. But he rejected it outwardly because the Surat Vishar or the demons who are always envious of the devotees of Godhead tried to support cow killing or animal killing from the pages of the Vedas. And this is now being done by the modernized Sannyasi. Lord Buddha had to reject the authority of the Vedas altogether. This is simply technical, and had it not been so, he would not have been so accepted as the incarnation of Godhead, nor would he have been worshipped in the transcendental song of the poet Jayadeva, who is a Vaishnava Acharya. Lord Buddha preached the preliminary principles of the Vedas in a manner suitable for the time being, and so also did Shankaracharya, to establish the authority of the Vedas. Therefore, both Lord Buddha and Acharya Shankara paved the path of theism. And Vaishnava Acharya, specifically Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, led the people on the path towards a realization of going back to Godhead. We are glad that people are taking interest in the non-violent movement of Lord Buddha. But will they take the matter very seriously and close the animal slaughterhouses altogether? If not, there is no meaning to the Ahimsa cult. Srimad Bhagavatam was composed just prior to the beginning of the age of Kali, about 5,000 years ago. And Lord Buddha appeared about 2,600 years ago. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Buddha is foretold. Such is the authority of this clear scripture. There are many such prophecies, and they are being fulfilled one after another. They will indicate that positive standing of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is without trace of mistake, illusion, cheating, and imperfection, which are the four flaws of all conditioned souls. The liberated souls are above these flaws. Therefore, they can see and foretell things which are to take place on distinct future dates. Om Ajnana Nivirandhasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Abhidam Jena Bhuktare Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padukamadam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sadhra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vetam Swam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinavanto Jagatpate Gopesha Govita Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Valpadar Upascha Kripasindhu Vaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanendro Vaishnavendro Namo Namaha.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastani Govinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Tato Palo Sampravritti Sammohaya Sudak Visham Buddha Namnan Janasuta Kipateshu Bhavishyati. Then in the beginning of Kali Yuga, the Lord will appear as Lord Buddha, the son of Anjali, in the province of Gaya, just for the purpose of deluding those who are envious of the faithful theist. So, this chapter describes different incarnations of the Lord. Actually, 22 different incarnations of the Lord. And then it has been established that Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Krishna is not an incarnation, but Krishna is the source of all incarnations. This point has been extensively discussed in the previous classes. And this chapter is mentioning about these 22 incarnations. And it has been also pointed out that there are unlimited incarnations of the Lord. And these 22 incarnations have been, most of them actually have been discussed further in the later part of Srimad Bhagavatam. The other day during his class, Ravindeshwar Prabhu compared this chapter to the preview of a movie. Like in the movie theaters, there are previews of the future movies that are going to come. And so similarly, in this chapter, these incarnations have been briefly discussed, and extensively they have been discussed in the later chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, excepting only this person, this incarnation of Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha's incarnation actually hasn't been discussed any further. And now here, the way it has been, with Lord Buddha's incarnation has been described, that he will be born in the province of Tikadam or Gaya in Bihar as the son of Anjana, does not really tally with the concept or understanding, the historical understanding that we have of Lord Buddha. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out that the personality who is going on in the name of Buddha is not the Buddha that has been forecasted in Srimad Bhagavatam. That Buddha, this Buddha is the son of is the son of the king of Kapila. Kapila was his name is Sudrodhan. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Shri Mahaprabhu. So he is born in Kapila Vastu, which is in Nepal now. And he was born as the son of a king, Sudrodhan. And so obviously, it's not the same personality who has been mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in this particular chapter. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out that this Sudradhan son, Siddhartha Buddha, he attained his realization in Gaya because that is the place of Lord Buddha's birth. The original Buddha's birthplace is actually in Gaya, where Lord Buddha attained his nirvana or realization. Anyway, it has also been explained that Buddha is not only a particular incarnation, but Buddha is actually a state of self-realization, so-called self-realization. So a personality becomes a bodhisattva, a self-realized soul. Buddha actually literally means realized soul. So the life of this Buddha also is very interesting, Siddhartha Buddha. So although he may not be the incarnation, but he is a personality who extensively propagated the teachings of Lord Buddha, the teachings of Ahimsa. He is quite a fascinating personality. He was born as the son of a king, a prince, and it was predicted right after his birth, after calculating his astrological chart, the astrologers predicted that this personality will become a very, very powerful king. But there is a sign, there is an indication that he may accept the renounced order of life and go away from his home. So his parents naturally became very concerned, and they decided that they will never let him understand what suffering actually was. Because it is due to suffering that one becomes averse to materialistic life. When one realizes that the materialistic way of life is full of misery, then one aspires for spiritual perfection and renounces home. And Buddha, it is told, Siddhartha, was brought up in such a way that he never knew what suffering was. And he was not allowed to go out of the precincts of the palace. He was never allowed to go out of the palace. And then he grew up and he got married and he got a son. And then it was felt that now he can go out. Now he is properly situated. He is married, he has a son, he is considerably attached to his family life and so forth. So for the first time Buddha went out, and his charioteer, Matali, the royal charioteer, king's charioteer, took him out in a chariot. And Buddha saw an old man, a person with age, his body has bent down, his skin has become wrinkled, and so Buddha never seen anyone like that before. So he asked, "Who is that, Matali?" Then Matali said, "This is an old man." Buddha asked, "What's an old man?" He said, "Well, when the body becomes old with time, the body becomes like that." So Buddha asked, "Will that happen to me also?" Matali said, "Yes. When you become old, you also become old." Then after a while, Buddha saw that a person is writing in pain by the side of the road. So Buddha asked, "What happened? Why are you behaving like that?" Then the charioteer told him that he is suffering from a disease, and out of pain he is writing. So Buddha asked, "What is disease?" And he explained what a disease was. And then Buddha asked, "Will that happen to me also?" And Matali said, "Yes, it will happen to you also, because the body is subject to disease." And then after a while Buddha saw that some people were carrying a dead body. And out of curiosity he asked, "Why are they carrying this person like that?" Then Matali replied that he's a dead man. They're now taking him to the crematorium to burn his body. So Buddha asked, "What is death?" And he explained that at certain point in time one dies, and then the body becomes useless, body starts to decay, and that's why the body is burnt. Then Buddha asked, "Will that happen to me also?" So Buddha told him, "Stop the chariot." And he took off his royal robes and ornaments and gave it to Matali, and said, "You go back home and tell them that I'm going out in search of a way to stop this old age disease and to conquer these three factors. So Buddha then left home, and as we all know, he came to Gaya, and under the Bodhi tree he meditated a very, very serious, severe meditation, performed severe austerity, and then he attained the Nirvana and or self-realization. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam clearly indicates that Buddha actually came to stop this animal sacrifice and establish the culture of non-violence. Jayadeva Goswami, in his invocation of Jiva Govindam, he glorified 10 specific incarnations of the Lord, and the 9th one is Lord Buddha. And he explained, Nindasi Jagva Videraha Shruti Jata Sadaya Hridaya Darshita Poshudhata Keshava Trita Buddha Shaira Jai Ragadisha. Nindasi Jagva Videraha Shruti Jata. He severely criticized the process of animal sacrifice in the Vedas, because his heart was afflicted by seeing that these animals were unnecessarily being slaughtered. Shadaya Vidhaya Darshita Pushu. His heart, the Lord's heart, is very tender, very soft, very merciful. And his tender heart became afflicted seeing these animals, innocent animals, were being sacrificed or slaughtered unnecessarily in name of sacrifice, which actually comes from the Vedic tenets, Vedic injunction. And in order to do that, the Lord Himself accepted the incarnation of Buddha and appeared as Lord. So, the understanding is that he came to stop animal sacrifice. Those days, due to the perversion of the Brahminical culture, actually the demoniac culture prevails. That's also a very interesting thing, which has been an interesting point, which has been mentioned in Garuda Purana, that in the age of Kali, the Rakshasa, the demon, will take birth in the family of Brahma. Rakshasa Kalimashrita Jayante Brahma Jonishu. The Rakshasa, the demon, will take birth in the Brahminical family, taking advantage of the age of Kali, and they will destroy the Vedic culture. And one way they destroyed the Vedic culture was that they started to slaughter animals in the name of Vedic sacrifice. And so Buddha came to stop that. Now, in order to stop that, the easiest way was to go to the root of that culture, of that practice, and uproot that. So Vedas were the cause of animal sacrifice, and Buddha said there is no need to accept the Vedas. There is no need to accept Vedas. The goal of life is to follow these 10 principles of morality. And the ultimate goal of life is Nirvana. And Nirvana means to eliminate the cause of suffering. And his concept was, or his point was, that the cause of suffering is the body. So, if you get rid of the body, then there won't be any suffering. So that was established in the name of Nirvana, and Buddha just rejected the Vedas. He taught people there is no need to follow the Vedas. And those days, although the religious culture was practiced with in Sanskrit, Buddha did not even use the Sanskrit language. His preaching was done mainly with Pali, which was the local language. And so he rejected the Vedas and he established the religion of non-violence or ahimsa. So in this way Buddha established the principle of non-violence or the Buddhism. And the philosophical aspect of Buddhism is Nirvana, which means to become. According to Buddhist understanding of Nirvana is, which is literally correct also, Sanskrit, word Nirvana means to become nothing. To become nothing. So that's why Buddhism is also known as voidism or nihilism. So Buddha's understanding ultimately is called void, and this suffering is caused by the body, so get rid of the body. And in this respect, Srila Prabhupada said, this philosophy or this concept is something like, you got a boil in your hand, so to get rid of the pain, and the boil is painful, so in order to get rid of the boil, just cut the hand off. So anyway, Buddha came to achieve certain purpose, that is to stop animal sacrifice. So when he stopped this animal sacrifice, then there was a need to re-establish the Vedas, because unless and until one accepts the Vedas, there is no way to understand the Supreme Personality of God. The only way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual reality is the Vedas. Therefore it is said, Vedna Maniya Bodho Hoilo Nasti. Since the Buddhists did not accept the Vedas, therefore they are atheists. Obviously, the Buddhists are atheists, although apparently they may seem to be following certain religion, they are actually atheists. Because they don't have any concept of God, they do not accept any concept of God. And now, the Vedas have been rejected in order to stop animal sacrifice. But now the Vedas have to be re-established. Therefore, the Lord instructed Shankara's Lord Shiva to come as Shankara. So that has been established, and Lord Shiva himself is saying that Mayavadam Ashat Chastram Prachanda Bodha Muchate Mayavigo Vihitam Devi Kalo Brahmana Murtina. Lord Shiva is telling Parvati that Mayavadam Ashat Chastram Prachanda Bodha Muchate, I will establish an Ashat Chastram. Ashat Chastram means a temporary Shastra, a temporary philosophical conclusion, which is known as Mayavada, which is actually covered Buddhism. Now Buddhism is covered atheism, and Mayavada is covered Buddhism, Prachanna Bodham, which is actually covered Buddhism. And I will do that in order to uproot Buddhism. It's something like, just as you pick a thorn with a thorn. Similarly, Lord Shiva, as Shankaracharya, used the theory of atheism, which is actually impersonalism, a negative impersonalism. There is a positive impersonalism also. The real impersonalism is positive impersonalism, Brahmavad. But this is Mayavad. So in order to uproot Buddhism, he had to accept this process. And he established Mayavad, which is actually known as Kevala Dvaitavad, the absolute non-dual. And his thing is that So he established that Kevala Advaitavad, and he uprooted Buddhism from there, from land of India. Now it's interesting also, Prabhupada in the purport also mentioned that Buddhism actually spread all over the world very effectively. And the person who did, the personality who did that was King Ashoka. Ashoka, he was a king of Magadha, and his capital was Pataliputra, which is today's Patna. And he went on a war against the king of Kalinga, or Odisha. And he saw, at night, he was inspecting how many people were killed and who lived on his side and who were on the other side. So he just, out of curiosity, he came at night to see the dead body. And there he saw a personality was actually treating the soldiers who were still alive, giving them water or trying to help them out. So he was curious that why he was, who was that and what he was doing. And he happened to be a follower of Lord Buddha. And this is how Ashoka actually came in contact with Buddhism. He did not come in direct contact with Lord Buddha, but he came in contact with one of his preachers. And he was fascinated by this theory of non-violence. And he saw the futility of this unnecessary violence to establish one's authority and spread his kingdom. And he became non-violent. He accepted the doctrines of non-violence and he started to preach it. And not only he preached it in his own kingdom and inside India, he even sent his sister Sanghamitra to China. And that is how Buddhism actually went to China. And he had diplomatic relationships, so now in this diplomatic relationship he sent his own sister to spread Buddhism. So Ashoka actually played a significant role in spreading Buddhism. But Prabhupada is pointing out here that Buddhism actually, because of this, or because of Buddhism, the Vedic culture was destroyed. Because due to Buddha's teaching, the Kshatriyas became non-violent. And when the Kshatriyas became non-violent, then there was no one to protect the Vedic culture. The Kshatriya culture was, the Kshatriya Ashvarna was lost. The kings became non-violent, and as a result of that, there was no one to actually protect the country from outside onslaught, or to protect the Vedic culture from the outside onslaught. So that's how the Kshatriya culture was destroyed, and then the Vaishyas became Jain, another sect of non-violent culture, which was propagated by Mahavir during the same time. So Kshatriyas followed Buddha and Vaishyas followed Mahavir. And Brahmana culture, Brahminical culture was already lost because of the demons taking birth in the Brahmana family. And so this way when the Brahmanas were gone, Kshatriyas were gone, Vaishyas were gone, the Vedic culture, Varnashram culture was completely lost. So when Shankaracharya came, he actually attacked Buddhism in a very, very systematic way. His point was, he was speaking about Nirvana. And he was saying that Nirvana means to become nothing. But the Nirvana is a concept from the Vedas. But the Vedic understanding of Nirvana is to become everything. The completely opposite approach. The Aham Brahmasmi, Brahma means the Absolute. So Nirvana doesn't mean to become nothing, but Nirvana means to become Absolute. So in this way, Shankaracharya established the Kevala Vedavad, which is known as Mayavad. It's interesting also to why it is called Mayavad, because Shankaracharya took the Vedic concept, but he twisted the concept. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has been very clearly pointed out that Vashir Sutrepe or Purinam Bad, Bash Bhando Boliti Ho Sailogi Bad. So Vedas or Vasudev has accepted the theory of Purinam Bad. Purinam Bad means the theory of transformation. The Brahman is transformed into material nature. Brahma Purinam Bad. But Shankaracharya came and presented a theory of Vivartavad as opposed to Parinambad. Now Parinambad means transformation, like Brahman is transformed into Jagat. Like milk is transformed into yogurt. Now milk is transformed into yogurt, it's transformed into another substance. So milk is existing, yogurt is also existing. But Shankaracharya established a novel theory called Vivartavad, or theory of misconception, or theory of illusion. How? Just as we mistake a mirage to be water, just as we mistake a rope to be a snake, similarly, this concept of material perception is actually non-existing, it's illusion. It doesn't exist. It's only an illusion. It's only a mistaken perception, a mistaken concept. So, in this way, Shankaracharya actually established his theory of Mayavad in order to drive out the buddhi. And he succeeded. And when Shankaracharya's mission was accomplished, the Vedas were re-established. His purpose was actually to re-establish the Vedas. And when the Vedas were re-established, then came Ramanujacharya. And he gave his Vishishtadvaita, very special aspect of non-dualism, as opposed to Shankaracharya, Kevaladvaita. And Shankaracharya gave a few examples which was thoroughly smashed by Ramanujacharya. And this is how he actually defeated the Mayavad of Shankaracharya or Kevaladvaita. Shankaracharya said, just as you mistake a rope to be a snake, there is no snake in the rope, but it's a mistaken perception. Similarly, we mistake this material nature to be real, but actually it is not true. It is mitha, Brahma Sattva Jagannatha. This material nature is illusion. And only Satya, the truth, is Brahma. Just as one mistakes mirage to be water, there is no water in the mirage, but it's a mistaken concept. Similarly, we are mistaking this material nature to be real, but actually it is not there. Now Ramanujacharya came and he established, or he challenged, or he defeated Shankaracharya's point in this way. That's fine, there is no snake in the rope. But somewhere the snake is existing, that's why you're mistaking the rope to be a snake. If the snake didn't exist, then there was no question of mistaking the rope to be a snake. If the water didn't exist, there was no question of mistaking the mirage to be water. So this may not be the reality, but there is another reality of which this is only a reflection. So in this way, he re-established the concept of the spiritual, the variegated nature of the spiritual reality through his Vishishtadvaita. And then Madhvacharya came and further established this concept of dualism through Shuddha Dvaitava, pure concept of dualism. And then finally came Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he harmonized all these contradictions, apparent contradictions, through his all-simple days of his virtues. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, this Shankaranites and the Vaishnavas were in loggerheads. They were conflicting and they had a very, very serious conflict among themselves. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and perfectly harmonized it through his Achintya Bhedavi. That's what. And in a way, it is established, it can be seen as on the ground of atheism or Buddhism, Shankaracharya lays the foundation. Now the foundation goes in the opposite direction. The building will go up, but the foundation goes in the other direction. Therefore, apparently it may seem that Shankaracharya is Shankaracharya's presentation is totally contradictory, but actually it is the foundation of the temple that was built by Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarkaswamacharya and Vishnuswamy, this four Sampradaya Acharya. And then finally Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and established the deity of Radha Krishna.
Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.